Thankful these days for how God has blessed us with so many families, and to see a room full of people worshiping Christ this morning, what a blessing. And so we're thankful for all God is doing. And one of the things that you note about Jesus is that he loved children. And he asked the children to come to him. And so I'm going to ask those that are dedicating children this morning to come on and make their way on up here. And Jesus laid his hands on them. And the disciples said, let's get the children out of here. Let's get the real important people like the adults around me. And Jesus said, oh, no. The kingdom of heaven is filled with little children. And so we want to love children well. And we're thankful for the many that have been birthed in our church family over the last few weeks and months. And I don't know how many we have here this morning, but it was going to be around 10 babies and a lot of parents. So we're really thankful for all of them. So
here, let's move that way. One or two couples here. Yeah. We have a slew of people.
That's a lot of babies. Yes, there are.
If you guys go ahead.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, got it.
So as we come, these families come to dedicate their children this morning. As they dedicate their children, they're really dedicating themselves to raise these little children, these little gifts of God, to love and serve Christ and to have a home that honors Jesus. These children must choose to accept Christ for themselves. They must make that choice before Jesus, and that will be the day of salvation for them. The dedication of the mom and dads doesn't save the child. The child must personally accept Jesus for themselves. And so we are going to provide a little challenge for them. And so moms and dads, here's the challenge. And if you agree, you say, we do. All right? There's three parts of the challenge. First of all, do you promise to raise your children, to love God and to walk in his ways and to teach them the Bible? Second of all, do you promise before God and these witnesses that when your child is old enough to understand the gospel, that Jesus died for their sins personally, that you will lead that child to accept Jesus as their personal Savior? And thirdly, do you promise before God and these witnesses that you will engage in the local church, that it is more than just your family that's important, it is the church family, and your children need all of us to see what it means to love one another and to serve Christ together? And if you agree to those three things, say, we do.
We do.
All right. Well, we're going to pray for each one of them. And so, Pastor Robert, let's pray for these children.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Jonathan and Tori. Thank you for this baby. God, we receive Maximus as your good gift. You said, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. God, we receive him as a blessing. Now we ask you to give him wisdom, give him peace, give him effectiveness, help him to receive Jesus early. And God, please use him to expand your kingdom, the only thing that will matter in 1,000 years. God, please use him for your kingdom.
Father, I pray for Will and Elise. I thank you for their family. I thank you for the friendship that I have with them. I thank you for little Micah. What a blessing he is to them and to us. God, I ask your blessing on his little life, that he will grow to love you and to serve you all his days. Like the prophet Micah, God, may he serve you. And I pray for Will and Elise that you'll give them grace and strength and wisdom. And God, may your spirit dwell in this household. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I want to thank you for Josh and Rachel and the good example that they have. God, thank you that Josh's dad was is a minister and Josh still loves Jesus. And God, we want to pray that same blessing on Cal, that he will see truth of the gospel lived out at home. God, help Josh and Rachel to love you more as a result of this baby. God, there's so much work involved. We thank you for what you're going to do through this family. Thank you for how you're using them in this church. God, we bless. We ask you to bless Cal. And we receive him, God, as your good gift to this home. For generations backwards and to come, God, we receive him. I ask you to bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you for Doug and Jess. I thank you for their family. Father, I thank you for this little miracle, Oliver. What a blessing. Oh, God, what they have gone through. And now he is in this home that you've placed him by your design. Oh, Father, I thank you. Praise you for who you are. Give strength to mom and dad. Give them wisdom and grace. And we pray for little Oliver. Oh, this is your design. God, may he walk with you all his days. May he grow up to love the Jesus that mom and dad do. May he, God, honor you with his days. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, thank you for Christopher and Shekinah. Thank you for Solomon. God, we thank you for the joy that you've put in his heart. I ask you to give him usefulness for the kingdom. God, help him to receive Jesus with passion early in life. Amen.
Pray for Jordan and Holly. So thankful for them. Thank you for their family. Thank you for their love for you. Father, thank you for adding little baby Elliot to their family. Oh, God, give again strength to mom and dad. Let them honor Christ in their home. Let your spirit dwell there and touch the hearts of these children. And pray for baby Elliot that he will grow to love you. Give him your grace and your strength. Oh, God, I pray that you will use him greatly. Bless his life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, thank you for Josiah and Heather that they're raising their children. Children already telling the neighbor kids about their new Bible, sharing Jesus already. God, I ask you to bless Carly. Give Josiah and Heather wisdom of how to raise this baby to love you. Father, thank you for her kind heart. And we ask you to reveal yourself to her in terms that are meaningful and real to her. And thank you that you have a desire and a plan for this baby. God, we receive her. We ask you to bless her. Save her early. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you for David and Jackie. Oh, God, thank you for their love for children. And God, just in so many ways, have loved kids. And so these days, now you've added to their number, Robbie and Joy. What an amazing gift, God. You're perfect in good timing in all things. And so we're thankful for them. We pray for those two little children. They'll love you. Oh, God, give mom and dad grace to know how to speak into the children's lives. Let them model the love for Jesus in their home. God, may you fill them with your spirit. And we pray for Robbie and Joy, that those two will love Jesus all their lives, that they will serve you, that they will walk with you, and they will accept Christ as their own personal Savior. And so we dedicate these two to you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Father Sean and Mindy, we are so thankful for them, God, and what a blessing they are. And these babies that you've blessed them with. And God, for baby Jace, I want to ask you to bless him. Give him wisdom to raise these children to love you. You have blessed them with a good quiver of children. And they are raising them to love you. Father, bless this baby. Reveal yourself to him. And God, give him wisdom. Help him to walk in your ways early in life. And God, we just receive him. Father, use him to expand your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen.
And all the people said, amen. What a blessing.
I'm going to get you guys. Just a second. We have something for you now. It's not Christmas yet, but oh, holy night. Some of these are thick and some of them are thin. You want thick or thin?
Don't matter.
You get a thick. There you go. There you go, Carly Dar. There you go, Solomonie Dolly Man. He's a little bitty guy.
Yeah.
All right. What? The
twins need another one.
The twins need another one. Hey, you only gave one to the twins, Kevin.
Sorry.
Here, take another one. Oh, you don't want any more. Okay. Okay, I understand. Yeah, we reached that day too.
Well, it's Vision Sunday, and we are so excited to share with you all that God is doing. And it is such an exciting day at Risen Life, and God is blessing us in so many ways. And so we want to highlight some of those ways this morning and introduce to you some of the people that God is using in and through our congregation to touch the world for Christ. And then we're actually, in the end, we're going to send out a church this morning. People that have been with us, kind of a whole group of them. And it's going to be a loss for us, but we're going to send a whole group out of here this morning. We're so excited to do that. So it's going to be a great day.
We're going to be in Acts chapter 6, so I encourage you to go ahead and turn there. And we'll be there in just a few minutes. And you know, for the past 8 years, Pastor Kevin and I have said we want this place. We feel God's called us to be a sending place, a sending church, rather than building one big congregation here. Instead, when we get 400 to 500 people, take 100 of them, peel them off, move them to the other side of the valley. We've not sent out 100 yet. We keep looking for that day. But our goal is still to equip people to do the work of the ministry. That's the responsibility of leadership. in the church, is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry.
It's a strategy we have followed for the last many years to try to gather around us people we believe God is calling uniquely to be sent. It's why we have a little larger staff than some churches, because we try to create an environment where young ministers and ministers that are just getting started in ministry, we give them an environment where they can learn and grow and build into them a healthy church DNA, and then send them out. It's a strategy we have stayed with and just believe God has called us uniquely to it.
Now, in the book of Acts, we have a church that has exploded in growth. The leaders have never done this church thing before. They don't have any examples to go off of, and so everything that they're doing is first time out. They're giving it a shot. And they got caught up in doing some things that they realized were not the best use of their time and gifts. And so they made some changes. And in Acts chapter 6, let's look at what it says, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose." Those were the Greek converts. "The Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty.' And now, we want you to set these aside so that we can concentrate on verse 4, and that was, 'We will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.'"
And so that is the emphasis, we believe, of the church. Let's teach the word of God well, and let's pray. As we teach the gospel, God uses that gospel to transform lives. We call it real life transformation. And so we will always see us as our number one priority to just simply teach God's word, teach the gospel, because that is the hope of the world. That is what changes us. That's what sets us free. That's what gives us new life.
It is our commitment here that the word of God is supreme. It is God's word that he has given and protected for thousands of years to change our lives. And it changes our lives because, according to Hebrews 4:12, it is quick. Now that means it's alive. When you read the word, when you go read John Grisham or something, that's not living. When you read the Bible, that is alive. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's able to do some division in our lives. It's able to divide between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, all the way down to the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Not only what you think, but what is motivating that, why you're thinking that. So we have been strong on teaching the Bible, and we will continue to be strong on that, because it is, we are convinced, the life-changing force in this world, animated by the Holy Spirit.
Yes, and unless God affects the change, unless God is the one that speaks to you, through his word, nothing will happen. And so that's why we pray. We pray because God is the one who takes his word and says, "You got to listen to me." You can hear the Holy Spirit's whisper in your heart. Listen, Jesus died for you. He was raised again for you. And so we pray that God, every Sunday, we pray that God will take his word and let it be fruitful, and that seeds will be settled in heart, that will be powerful and fruitful in the lives of those that hear.
And we're going to continue and step up our emphasis in prayer this next year. We have a series lined out for middle of January,
yeah,
on prayer. And we're going to step up our emphasis on that. And I want to continue to remind you. We talked about it a little bit last week. I want to challenge you. Would you be willing to set a timer in your phone for 10:02, 9:38 a.m. or p.m., Luke 10:2, and Matthew 9:37 and 38 say, pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send laborers into the field, because the harvest is ripe. Amen? You don't have to look far past your front door to see a harvest that's ripe. And so would you be willing to set a reminder, establish a system in your life that reminds you of what to pray for and to pray that God will send laborers? We've been praying this verse for 8 years. And if you have come to this house in the last 8 years, you are an answer to that prayer. And we receive you as God's good answer. Would you be willing to turn around and continue that by praying for more laborers to be sent into the field?
The aim is that lives will be changed by the gospel. Our theme verse is Galatians 4:19. We have it on our banners here. Until Christ is formed in you, real life transformation, that the message of Christ will change us and we will become like Jesus in the way we act, the way we speak, and just live our lives fully devoted to him. That's the aim. And our strategy for that is four-part, and you see that hanging underneath the banners too, is that we will connect with one another, we will grow in our faith, we will find places to serve in the church family and in the community, and then we will, and this is what we'll emphasize most today, reach out in Jesus' name to those around us that have not yet heard the gospel.
Now, in all of these things, connect, grow, serve, and reach, we have opportunities here in this house for you to take part in those things, ways to connect. We have community groups, 23 community groups that meet all over this valley, and if you can't find a community group in 23 community groups, I'll tell you what we need to start one more, and we'll do it. We want to get you involved with people. Safe Class. Scott Cook is doing such an excellent job helping people walk out of addictions. Men's and women's ministries. Grief Share. We have mission trips that have gone, and we have more coming this next year. Look at this picture. This is the church in Guatemala that we have partnered with and sent folks down to. And you people put the roof on that building this past year.
How about that, huh? Yep. Yep. At great risk to their life.
Yeah, who was it who tried to go meet Jesus in Guatemala?
Who was dangling up there high? There it is.
Okay. Well, we got them all home, and you guys put that roof on the building. And so now people in the tropics have a place where they can go worship Jesus without being rained on, and that's a wonderful thing. So we are thankful for the opportunities to get involved, to connect, grow, serve, and reach in this house. There's just so many of them.
And we want to think multiplication. We want every person on mission for Christ's kingdom. There's sort of a traditional way of looking at church, and that is that you take an offering and you pay the pastors to do the work. And they are the ones that should be connecting, growing, serving, and reaching. And then you just watch them and you evaluate them. That is a very slow-moving model and a really bad one, frankly. And the better model is to have all of the saints together, equipped to serve, to make a difference, to participate in the church family, and all of us be on mission for Him. Then we have a multiplying model, and the kingdom expands quickly like wildfire.
And Ephesians 4:11 says that the responsibility of leadership, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, is to equip God's people to do the work of ministry. We cannot do it by ourselves. We cannot do it without you. And so it's our responsibility to equip you. And we do that with the Word of God and prayer. And what we want to do this morning, we want to institute a new, just a practical way of teaching everyone in this house how to share the gospel. We want this across all of the community groups. We want it in the children's ministry so that everyone has a simple, effective way of sharing the gospel. And it's called this. Now look, there's this little book. And we have them spread out. We want you to take one of these books home with you. Learn how to use this. There's a website on the back that walks you through. It's about a 6-7 minute presentation on the web. There are books up here on the piano. There are some on both of the tables as you're heading out. And Jared bought enough so that everybody can have one for themselves and one to give away. So we want you to use this thing. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through it this morning and show you how to use this thing in addition to the website so that all of us will be on the same page.
Yeah, there's lots of ways to share the gospel.
Yep.
This is one really good, contemporary, culturally sensitive in healthy ways, and very gospel-centered. And so let us share. We encourage you to have a way to share the gospel. And this is the way we want to teach our congregation in this next year. So it begins with God's design. God made us. We are His creation. We are made in His image. And He's given us a way to live for Him, a pathway to walk in holiness and righteousness and obedience to Him. God, because He is the maker of us, knows how we should live our lives, and He's teaching us how to do just that. He teaches us how to handle our finances. He teaches us how to work. He teaches us how to be good parents. He teaches us how to be good couples in marriage. He teaches us how to handle our relationships. He gives us His design, and when we walk in it, there's blessing. But all of us have chosen to go our own way, to not follow God's design, to walk in rebellion to God, and the Bible calls that sin.
And that sin is what takes us into a state of brokenness. Our relationship with God is broken. Our relationship with one another is broken. And when we recognize that disunity and that dis-ease in our life, we go running after all kinds of things to try and fill the void that was vacated when we rejected God. And we go running after spending money and alcohol and addictions and sex and all kinds of things that make us feel better about ourselves. But all it does is make the brokenness worse, because at the end of the day, when we lay down, we realize we're still sinners, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's a penalty on that sin. That penalty is death. And what we're looking for in brokenness, there is a way to get out of that brokenness, but it's never going to be as a result of our own work, because we're saved by faith through grace. It's not of our own selves. And that's what brokenness tells us. You can fix this yourself, but we're the ones who broke it. We cannot fix it until we look at our sin and we're willing to say, I did wrong. God, I'm sorry. And we call that repentance. Mm-hmm. When we repent, it makes it so that we now can move to the third circle and hear the good news, which is the gospel.
And the good news of the gospel is, even though that we are sinners, even though we have rebelled against God, even though we've gone our own way and turned our back on God, even to the point where the Bible says we are enemies of God, here's the good news. God still loves you the same. He loves you. He loves you. And he cares about you. And you matter to him more than you matter to yourself. And our God invites us into a relationship with him through what we call the gospel. That in our rebellion and in our sinfulness, a just and holy God sent his son Jesus to die for our sins, that we can be freely and fully forgiven. And we are given his righteousness. And therefore we stand perfect and holy before an absolutely perfect and holy God. And all we have to do is simply believe it and turn from our sins and give our lives to him.
And so that third one, that when he transforms us, it makes it so that now we can move into other people's lives. We can tell them about God's design for them. We can see when they're in brokenness, and we can share the gospel with them so that they can go and start sharing the same gospel. I want to encourage you, pick one of these books up. Check it out. It's real simple. It's just real big, big letters. I don't even have to have my other fake glasses on. You can see it. Isn't that wonderful? Check this out. Learn how to share the gospel. And if you have another plan, that's great. But we want to make sure that everybody has access to a good plan that's effective in sharing the gospel. We wanted to make that available to you.
And beware also, it's also, you can get it on your iPhone. You can pull it down right there, and there's an app that'll do that for you, and you can actually walk through right on your iPhone just what we just shared with somebody that would need to hear the gospel. It's really a cool thing.
Said the man who still has a flip phone.
Yes, I know. That was a secret, Robert.
He has difficulty spelling app. But anyway, there's so many ways that could go, and that's not going to go
just,
any
we don't have time for that.
We don't have time for it. We really don't. Listen, what we want to do from here to the end of the service is just share with you some of what God's been doing, what he is doing, and then fifthly, the fifth one we're going to show you is what he's going to do, what he's in the process of planting out of this church. And we realized in the first service, these five ministries that we're going to talk to you about, four of them have come to us in the last 8 years. They are the answer to the prayer, send laborers into the field. Isn't that wonderful? We have a great, great day here. The first one we want to share with you is Mark and Wendy Hoshizaki. They are missionaries in Japan. They are on furlough right now. They've been with us here. This is their home church for about 9 months. They leave in March to go back to Japan. Japan is less than 0.5% Christian. Mark and Wendy have their work cut out for them. They've been there for 25 years, something to
decades,
that effect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they need encouragement. There's a way to be in touch with them. You can get on their newsletter and know how to pray for them, as well as contact them, let them know you're praying for them. There's also a prayer card that's on the back two tables back there that you can stick that on your refrigerator and have two more smiling faces at you every time you go to get the bacon. It'll give you one more reason to be happy in addition to bacon. But anyway, pray for Mark and Wendy, and we want to ask Sue to come and talk with us. We found out first service it was 20 years ago. So
I lied. It's 15.
15. Sorry. So you were like 12 years old when you went.
Sure.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. What we're going to do, Sue went with Hands of Praise about 15 years ago. Jaquita Lee was leading that group. And when you went to Japan and worked with Mark and Wendy, tell us some of what happened there and what you saw God doing.
Okay. So first off, Hands of Praise was a creative worship group that used to be active here at Risen Life. And Mark and Wendy thought that would be a good fit for the Japanese culture because they're very much into performance and the arts. And so they invited us to come. We were able to raise the funds and we went there. We did a lot of different things. We were able to share in the worship service of a few different Christian churches there, of which there are not a lot. One of the most exciting things was doing street ministry, and we had some of the Mark and Wendy, as well as some of the local church Christians there with us, so they could talk to people. And they were very responsive to having us do this sign and dance to music out amongst the crowd. A lot of people stopped, and the local Christians there were able to talk to them. One other thing that we did that was really cool was we were able to do a women's luncheon. A lot of what Mark and Wendy do is basically it's just reaching out to the community organizing events, you know, where they can come together and have Christians there and, you know, just be able to develop relationships and talk to them about the gospel. The women's luncheon actually was really cool because, and they had a really good turnout. I think we had like 50 to 60 women turn out, and they all paid money to come and see us. And then we got to sit with them at lunch at the tables. I was at a table with Jolynn Holzer, and there were like 8 other Japanese ladies and 1 little 10-year-old girl, which was very fortuitous because she was the only one that actually spoke English. And it
except
was
except for you and Jolynn.
Except for me and Jolynn. You know, and I had learned a few phrases like where's the bathroom and how much does this cost. That was pretty much the extent of my Japanese, but it was a really great experience. And one thing that we heard over and over from mostly the women was, why are you guys here? Why did you come here? And who's taking care of your children at home? Because in the Japanese culture, men do not share in that responsibility very much at all. And so we were able to share with them that our husbands stepped up to the plate and were willing to take care of things at home and take care of our children to give us the opportunity to come and share Jesus with them. And I don't know of any individual that became a Christian while we were there, but I could tell it definitely made an impression on them that we were willing to do that just to share Jesus with them.
So what an awesome opportunity. We have them with us for 9 months. You've seen them around. You see their picture. They've been a part of our congregation. They're here most Sundays. It's been really great, and so we're thankful, and we are now feeling led to send a team over there again this next year. If you're interested in going to Japan and be a blessing to Mark and Wendy, please let us know. So it's really a cool thing that this is their church home, family. They consider this church home, and so we want to be a blessing to them. So we're going to ask Sue to pray for them this morning.
Dear Father in heaven, Lord God, I just thank you for people like Wendy and Mark and everyone else that is willing to serve you and to share your word. I thank you for the way that they shine Jesus and his spirit. Lord, I pray that you would keep them healthy. And Father, most of all, I pray that you would keep them encouraged. Father God, just help them to remember your promise that your word will not return void, that you would use everyone who's willing to follow you and your plan. And Lord, even though they don't seem to be making much of a dent and having a lot of people become Christians, Father, just help them to have faith in you and continue to cling to you and serve you faithfully. And I ask this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
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 Amen. Good. Thank you, Sue. Yeah. Appreciate it. Yeah, yep. Good. Next, we want to highlight to you Kirk and Crystal Galster. Now, they came to us about 8-9 months ago, something like that, and they're raising funds to go to missions. But they said, while we're here, here's your weird and wild idea. What could we do to serve? And so we have put them to work in the children's department with Corinne, and they are doing a wonderful job. Now, you guys are looking to head somewhere. We want you to tell us where you're looking to head and how you came to that place as where you feel God's calling you.
So we are looking to move to Djibouti, which is in East Africa. And Djibouti kind of picked us. We were looking to go somewhere in the Middle East, North Africa region. And our organization that we knew we really wanted to go with only had 2 projects in that area. And we met the team from Djibouti, and they were really great people. And we just thought it was an awesome opportunity to learn from experienced people who've been in the field for 10, 15 years and just could really share their wisdom with us.
Mm-hmm. Kirk and Crystal are interesting. They're business people. And in fact, Kirk has a master's degree in international business, correct? And so you have kind of some unique opportunities to share the gospel. Tell us a little bit about how you want to go about sharing the gospel in Djibouti.
Exactly. So with Djibouti being 94% Muslim, in order for us to have access to the country, we're going to be working with a school, a nonprofit, K through 12 school, and working in the administrative department of the school, and using that to create community around the school to just share life with people and share the gospel through our just daily living.
All right, and what are some things that you need us praying for you? Where do you need prayer, and how can we help you get ready to go to Djibouti?
So our biggest need right now is support. We are about 57% funded, and we're about 2,600 a month in monthly commitments short of reaching our goal so we can launch. So just praying about God sending us people to support us, or praying about supporting us yourselves, like that would be a huge encouragement to us. And we also do send out a monthly newsletter or bi-monthly, and so if you want to receive that and just kind of see where we're at in our journey and when we're going and just how our progress on fundraising is going, please talk to either Kirk or I after the service, and we'll be happy to get your information so we can add you to that newsletter. We send out more specific prayer requests about just our daily needs or our monthly needs as far as emotional support or just kind of strength as we go through this process.
And we have contact information for you guys, don't we? Is this it?
So this is the website for Resource Exchange International, which is the nonprofit we work with. And contact information is always on our newsletter.
Okay, good. Corinne, we've asked Corinne to pray for these guys. They're helping her with the children's ministry, and they're killing it back there. So Corinne, you pray for them.
Father God, thanks so much for Kirk and Crystal, and Lord, what they're doing for you already here in your kingdom. We are grateful for that. I pray, Father God, that you would provide funding for them, Lord God. I pray that you would make your way known. Father, thank you for what they're going to do in Djibouti. I thank you for the lives that will be saved and changed. I ask that you just go with them, give them great health, and Father, continue to prepare them for this journey they're going to be on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Good. Thank you. Thank you.
And this morning we have David Edmonds with us, and David is part of Hope Church. He's a part of a church planning team. David and his wife Rhonda and Ben and Rachel Healy were part of this congregation for a little bit, a couple years ago, and they've been sent out and launched, and all kinds of exciting things are happening. So David, give us a little update. What God's doing, what excites you about Hope Church?
Well, thank you. I appreciate Risen Life and what you guys are doing. 4 years ago, six families moved out here from Kentucky and Tennessee to plant a church. And Risen Life has been encouraging us and praying for us and counseling us. Just been an awesome resource. So we're very grateful. My first Sunday here was Super Bowl Sunday. And Robert said, "What you doing today?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." He said, "Well, you're coming to my house." And so he extended such hospitality to us on the very first day we were ever here. And that has just gone forth. Sorry for the Robert story. He came to the door in a pair of bear boots and a robe, from what I remember.
I was barefoot then.
Yeah. Hospitality doesn't have to look perfect. Yeah. You know.
I have a flip phone and he has bear boots.
I love you. I'm going to get in trouble. You gave me the microphone.
I'll wear them to
That's
church if you want. I don't care.
Okay.
David, so tell us a little bit.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your strategy. I think your strategy is so unique in how you've tied business with the kingdom work and kind of how you put that whole thing together and where you're at with that whole thing.
Yeah, so nothing new. Paul did it. He was a tent maker, and they're going to be doing it in Djibouti. But we had several vocational pastors that were part of that move that all got jobs in the community to just develop relationships. One is a teacher, two are in IT. I started a business for entrepreneurs, and it's through those relationships that we've got long-term ways and consistent ways, 8 hours with people every day, that we're able to share the gospel and help people to understand who Jesus is.
Yeah, that is so exciting. It's exciting to see the growth. You've had a lot of growth, and so we are just thankful for you. How can we pray for you these days?
Well, thank you. I would say two things. One is unity, and the other would be complacency. Pray for unity. For unity and against complacency. For unity is we're a different church than we were 3 months ago. We moved in a new location and kind of doubled in size. And so it's a brand new place with all kinds of diverse people with different ideas. And just pray that God maintains our unity. And then complacency is kind of linked to that. We've got a full room now, and but many of those are Christians. And complacency is a blatant disregard for doing what God has called us to do, to share the gospel, to be part of the Great Commission, to be pushing forward His kingdom. And so just pray for us that we would not be complacent, not grow weary in doing good in that respect.
Mm-hmm. All right, David, well, let's pray for you. Father, thank you for all you're doing with Hope Church. Thank you for just the privilege of walking with these people. God, it is so great to see them growing and see them thriving. We pray for a fruitful ministry, that many will find Christ. And we pray, Father, that you'll keep unity in their direction. And that, Father, that they will now, even as they've seen growth, not be complacent, but keep going forward, marching forward with the gospel. The gospel is always expanding. And so I pray, God, you'll also guard them and their character and their hearts and their lives, protect their families. And, Father, give them great joy in your kingdom's work. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good. Amen. Thanks, Greg. Thank you. All right. We want to highlight to you Redeeming Life, which is Brian Catherman and Brett. There he is, Brett Reisley. About 5 years ago, Brian Catherman came to us and came on staff with us, and we knew he was wanting to look to plant a church, and so we moved him around a lot of places in staff to learn how different ministries in church operate. And then about 2.5-3 years ago, he and Brett went out to Rose Park to start Redeeming Life, and they are doing well out there. Brett, how are things going out there, and where do you see God working?
Awesome. Thank you. It's good to be here. Things are going well. We started in May 2015. We kind of launched in the Fair Park, Rose Park area in a community center. Some of you might remember that moment. It's gone really well since then. God's been growing us through conversions and bringing people in all sorts of amazing kind of ways. And now we're 60, 70 people on a weekend. God's given us a building that we're renting on North Redwood Road. It's over just south of the Chevron refinery, just north of the Rose Park Golf Course. And we've got 121 seats that we're praying that God fills with unbelievers or believers from all over the place as we seek to make disciples. And so one really cool story, back in January of this year, I baptized a guy named Ming, a 20-year-old college student. Had the opportunity to disciple him, pour into him, teach him how to share the three circles that you guys heard about today, showed him that, just walked with him in life and said, you need to go make disciples. And he's a college student at Newmont University. And in the last 5 months, he's spent having a Bible study with two of his roommates in the book of John. One roommate was a practicing Wiccan. The other one was an ex-Catholic guy who was just very jaded on religion and church and whatnot. And then last month, Ming had the opportunity to lead both of those roommates to Christ, and now they're on our worship team. They're making disciples. They're taking the gospel to Newmark University. Yeah, amen. Yeah. So God is good. God has done all of that. Now we just get to be a front row seat to that. So.
Yeah, Brett, how many people have accepted Christ this year through your ministry out there?
I think it's around 13 to 15 people in the last year.
That's amazing.
From darkness to light.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
We are so thankful. Tell us how we can pray for you these days. We're so excited what God's doing.
Yeah. I mean, number one thing, just pray that all of Redeeming Life, that we would grow in holiness, as you guys are doing the same type of thing here, that we would be holy, righteous people set apart for the work of God's kingdom, and that we would lead in that and join Jesus in his mission as Jesus followers, and that we would be that first. Secondly, pray that the building that we have would be just that, a building that helps facilitate gospel kingdom work all over the city. Third, pray for Brian and I as we raise funds to do what we do full-time as pastors. Pray that that continues to come. Partnerships come. You guys have been a huge blessing to us. Others have been a huge blessing. If you want to connect with us in any way, I've got a newsletter that you guys can sign up for. But just keep praying that ultimately that the lost would be found and that this city would be redeemed by the power of the gospel.
These guys are good soil. Let's be sure and pray for them. Yeah. Where's Karen?
Karen, are you here this morning? Karen was here in first service. She leads a community group. She prayed for them in the first service. But she may be busy doing her work of teaching others right now. That's good. That's awesome. So I will pray for Brett. I'm sorry I can't be Karen, but I'll do my best.
All right,
here we go. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Brett. Thank you for Brian. Thank you for their wives and their families. God, they are in a crazy place, God. So we ask your protection on them, their hearts. Keep their hearts close to you. Father, even as you cause growth, keep them from pride. Help them to be humbly dependent upon you day by day. Father, multiply their ministry. Save souls. God, thank you for their building. Fill it up with people. Fill it up with lost people that find Jesus. Fill it up with people who worship you. Lord, I pray these days that you'll continue to give them wisdom how to best reach Rose Park and the area. We pray, God, that their children and their own personal lives, they will be men and women and children of character that walk close with you day by day. Let them know you. God, you go with them. Let them know your presence. Give them a fresh abundance of that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good. Well, those four are ministries that have been going or have been started out of, partnered with Risen Life over the past few years. And today we want to introduce you to a fellowship that is looking at today as being their launch Sunday.
It's Steve and Tricia Pearson and everybody they have with them from Redemption Hill down to Eagle Mountain. And he said, do you want everybody up there? I said, I want everybody. He said, that could be 22, 24 people. Good. Let's get them all up there. This is a good group of people. They have a video for us. Let's see what this has to say. This is Steve and Tricia. Steve, I want you to tell us a little bit about the vision, how long you've had it, where you feel like God's calling you to.
Well, we had it probably about 15 years ago, me and my wife, when we were in California, wanting to move out to Utah, particularly in Utah County. But the specific vision as far as Saratoga Springs, Eagle Mountain area, actually came from her and Chris, who's right behind her. I had a vision for a different place, kind of in the Provo, Orem area. And my wife just one day when we were driving said, hey, how about where we live? And I'm like, well, yeah, okay, whatever. And then I just started praying about it. And over the next 4 or 5 months, the Lord really started pressing upon my heart. And I'm like, hey, I got this great idea, Trish. How about where we live, you know? And then the confirmation really came a little over a year ago when Chris had invited me out for coffee and said, hey, I feel like the Lord's speaking about maybe doing a church out here in Eagle Mountain, Saratoga Springs. What do you think? And I'm like, oh, man, you know, if only you knew. And so that's kind of where it kind of birthed.
Steve, it's been a great joy having all of you with us. You have been such a blessing to us in amazing ways. It's going to be hard to have you go. You've took up a lot of seats here and but a lot of blessing, and now we're going to have to fill them back in. So what a loss we're going to feel. But we are so excited you're going. Tell us a little about your relationship with us and what it's meant to you.
Well, first of all, I'm sorry that my Trojans beat up on your Huskies last night.
Oh, my gosh.
I had to throw that out there. That's what really means a lot to me.
Roll time.
No, yeah. You guys.
You had to do that, didn't you?
Yeah, I had to do that.
You just had to do that.
This church has been so amazing. You know, I shared with First Service, if I gave my wife the mic and had her answer this, she'd probably start crying. The grace that you guys have shown, the love that you've shown. You know, when Scripture says you'll know that they're my disciples by their love to one another. You're disciples, man. I mean, I'll just say it. You guys have had just this incredible love for us. But it goes further than that. I mean, I've met with Robert probably every week, every other week. I've met with Pastor Kevin several times. Josh would just call me up and say, hey, you know, what's Trevor doing today? Drop him off at my house. I'm like, really? You know, do you know he's 13, bro? I mean, it's like, it's just what you guys have meant and your staff is just so incredible. And so we were talking that this is going to be hard for us because over the last year, we've fallen in love with this church, you know? So yeah, you guys, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
How can we pray for you? What can we do for you to launch well and to make sure you have everything you need? How can we pray for you?
Well, I don't know if you know much about Northern Utah County. So between Saratoga Springs and Eagle Mountain, there's about 60,000 people, and it's one of the fastest growing communities in the state. And so pray that God gives us an open door that no man can close, and that we're able to do some great exploits for the Lord there. But also pray again along the same lines for unity. You guys, we're all friends. You know, this started with six of us just a year ago meeting in our living room. You know, kind of going through the Word and just praying. And over the last 8 months, God has added more, and there's a few more that aren't up on stage here. And so pray that our friendship just stays intact as God blesses this and moves. You know, a lot of times when churches grow, you know, you get so involved with the work that you forget about what's most important. And so we really want to maintain that. So pray for that. And then there's practical things. We're looking for a building. We want to get this out of our living room now. And so pray that we can, you know, find one of those, you know, really cheap. That would be great. Let's pray free, right? Let's just pray it's for free, right? And then we've got some needs, like with any church plant, we're looking for a worship leader and just some other places, you know. So, yeah, if you guys could do that, that would be amazing.
Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask these guys, we're going to ask Steve and Tricia to stand down there, and then everybody close in behind them. And we want to give you guys an opportunity to get around these guys, and we're going to pray for them. Today, they're considering today as their launch Sunday. Their first Sunday is going to be over into January. Come on up. If you want to get around them and pray, then come on while I'm telling you this. And then they're going to have their official start date on Easter of next year. But in the meantime, we want this to go well. Amen? Because as they prosper, the kingdom prospers. So let's get around them and pray for them. And any of these ministries, if you feel God's calling you to be a support and encouragement to them, we want to pray for them. We want you to give to them. And if God's telling you to go work with them, we want you to go do that too. We hold our resources loosely so that God can be glorified. Let's pray for these people. Father, thank you so much for what you're doing. God, thank you that you planted a vision. Father, the vision that changed Nineveh did not happen in Nineveh. It happened in the heart of a preacher who was running the other direction. You planted that vision there and you turned him around and you sent him. And God, you planted a vision in the heart of these people. Thank you, Father, that you have brought Steve and Trisha up here from California. You've brought these other folks from all over the country. And God, you have placed them here. You put them in community. And now, Father, we want to ask you to bless this fellowship. Use it to bring the gospel to Eagle Mountain and Saratoga Springs. God, we need your church. We need your Holy Spirit to invade that place and change lives. Mm-hmm. And so we ask you to use these people to do it. God, we covenant with them. We covenant with you. We're going to pray for them. We're going to be with them. We're going to help them any way that we can. But God, we ask most of all, please be glorified in Jesus as they lift Jesus up, that you'll draw all people to yourself through the work you're going to do in this house. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's stand together and sing this song together. God's been good, amen? We have a lot of good things going on. Let's stand together and sing as Sean leads us. Amen. We serve a good God. Amen.
Yeah.
Now listen, if you're here today and you've heard about all this salvation, but you've never experienced it, man, we don't want you to leave here without hearing how you can become a Christian. Jesus died for your sin. And every one of us has sinned. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of that sin, according to the Bible, is death. If you would like to learn what God's Word, the Bible, has to say about how you can experience forgiveness of sin by giving your life to Him as Lord. Talk with us. Talk with any of these that have been up here. We'll be glad to share with you how you can become a Christian.
And if you are a Christian this morning, Jesus has paid it all for you. He's poured out His life for you. And our worshipful response to Him is poured out for Him. These are many examples of how you have been a blessing to others so that they can be sent. And we want to continue to be a church that sends people out. We've shared with you a little bit of how you can share the gospel. We hope you'll take that seriously. And you ask God for opportunities to share the gospel with those around you. Be a blessing, pray, and watch. And let's be a church on mission for Him.
All right, now we're going to have family meeting, which means lunch. If you didn't bring any food, don't worry about it. Pastor Kevin never eats anything. You can have his food. We're going to have Dave Pelton. Do what? Dave Pelton has two other guys who are with him to help set up the auditorium for having lunch. Go.
Okay, Alan, Scott Cook, Alan Trigg, Chuck Hastings, Dennis Crenshaw, all come up here. This is the group of guys on the screen. We've got the map. But these are the guys who can help coordinating you. So if you can just help us out, we'll quickly get the chairs stacked and out of the way first, and then we'll start setting up tables.
Okay, good. Grab a chair, stack them, move them out of the way, and tables are in this room over here. Get with these guys, help them, and we're going to have a good time for lunch. Amen?